Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, here we go for hour number two. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon. I've got Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. And for at least a few more minutes, we're talking about pain.
Yeah. And during the commercial, Dan asked me, you know, about people over 50 or 55 running. Because I'm in my 70s and I run.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome.
And my answer was simply, for any and every exercise, you should do as much as your body can do on any given day without pain.
Right.
And if your body can't do it, give it a break. Let it recover.
Right. We're not talking about exhaustion.
No.
We're talking about actual pain.
I'm doing push-ups, okay, I normally knock off about 50 push-ups four times a day. So I do about 200 push-ups in the course of a day, okay? But if I went away, like I just went away on a two-week trip, and when I came back, I could only comfortably do 40. I couldn't do 50 because I hadn't done them for 2 weeks.
You weren't doing push-ups on vacation?
No, I didn't do them on vacation. And so I came back and, you know, and so I...
You're a slacker.
Yeah, I could only do 40 instead of 50.
Such a slacker, this guy.
But of course, you know, being obsessive, I did 45 times that day so that I could get my 200 in. But
And how'd you feel? Were you sore?
Yeah, I'm fine. No, I get a little tiny bit of soreness the next day in my biceps just for a day or two, and then, you know, It clears. But the point is, I use my body heavily. I use it as much as I can do without pain on any given day.
Right.
And you've all seen the margarine commercials, you know, and Mother Nature is there, and the guy fools her with the margarine thinking it's butter, and she says, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, that's not Mother Nature for real. That's a fake. Mother Nature is a cruel, unforgiving, vindictive bitch. And she will get you if you cross her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She never forgives. You cross Mother Nature, she will get you.
Yes.
So
when Mother Nature says don't
do it.
It's real simple.
So let me open. We've got two lines open, and we can take some calls. If you got calls about pain here for the next half hour or so, you simply call us at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. You call right now about a question about pain. We will get you on right now. In the meantime, Dr. Mixon, you are now the patient.
Yes.
Ask your question.
Okay. When I was about 40, I pushed my running up and I developed a Achilles tendon on my left side.
Achilles tendonitis, yep.
Yep. And it caused me pain and I backed off and it resolved and I had no problem with it until I was about 60 and it flared up again.
Right.
And I backed off for a couple of weeks and it went away. Didn't bother me again until about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I started sprinting, running as hard as I could, as fast as I could until I, you know.
There you go. Just push it to the limit.
That's right. Yeah. I do that.
I love it.
I can't help it. You know, I can't help it. If I can, I do. And it flared up.
Right.
Because I'm in my 70s, I'm 73 here in about 4 weeks.
Wow. You know,
Congratulations. I didn't want to back off as much as I did in the past because I lose too much ground when I back off at my age.
Right.
So I found if I slow down and jog, it gets better, but it never quite goes away. And when I push it back up, it's starting to hurt again. And so, you know, I don't want to quit. I love running and jumping and leaping and cavorting and dancing into the night. But, you know,
this is very true, by the way.
Yes. I believe it.
But, yeah, so I was wondering about laying some PRP down along that Achilles tendon and across the back of the heel at the insertions.
Absolutely.
And see, you know, and had you done that to several people, and are you getting good results? And if so, I'm going to come in and let you draw some blood and put some PRP along my Achilles tendon.
This is music to my ears, because Achilles tendonitis is something that's readily treatable. And then it's not unusual to have that situation where it's intermittent and kind of goes away, then comes back, kind of back and forth. What do? You try physical therapy. You do all these things. The PRP is really an amazing thing. And, you know, maybe amazing is too strong a word, but I'll tell you what, it's a very simple injection. And like you said, we usually use ultrasound, and we go right behind the tendon and just inject it, and you can see it tracking up and down the tendon. And with all those growth factors that we talked about, mm-hmm. all you're doing is reinforcing and strengthening that tendon. There's probably some, you know, anitis of chronic inflammation there that, all you're doing is, it's all good, you know, because it's strengthening the tendon, reinforcing the tendon. As you know, those Achilles tendon situations, if you would develop a tear that over time can be big, and you get Achilles tendon tear. Who was the Seahawk? Richard Sherman. He got Achilles tendon tear, which basically took him out of professional football for at least
the rest
a year.
Of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to get to that point, right? No. So, to me, this is one case where early treatment is better than late treatment. So, being proactive, which you obviously are doing here, for a very simple, very low-risk procedure to go in. Now, would it be one treatment? Would it be three treatments over, you know, 2 or 3 months? I don't know. But mm-hmm. I would suggest to you, Jerry, that we'll get you in there. We'll do a PRP. It's a, you know, 10 to 15 minute procedure max, and
it's easy.
And
now, does insurance cover PRP?
Unfortunately, not. It does not cover, except for rare, like intraoperative situations, they'll cover PRP for certain surgical procedures.
Yeah.
But you know, we're as I've said many times on this show and other places, insurance companies are not slaves to logic.
They make their money collecting premiums, not paying claims. I mean, it's real simple.
Yeah.
In all of life, follow the money.
Right. And they're generally not on your side. I mean, they're on their side.
Yes.
And we need insurance companies. I totally get that. No. But they're basically just what you said. It's a bottom line situation. If they feel like they don't have to cover, and they have their policies, right? So they say, and you know, if I have to do a procedure and I, you know, have one of my people call up and they say it has to be a pre-authorization, which means you have to get that to do the procedure. If it's, well, pre-authorization is just a joke. And then, you know, if I have to do a peer-to-peer, which means I talk to one of the insurance company paid doctors to like talked about why I want to do this, which means I have to stop my clinic, get on the phone, talk to them. And I'm usually talking to somebody who has no idea what I do. Mm-hmm. I can tell by, and now I've gotten to the point where I ask them first, do you have any idea about what this is all about? Because sometimes it's a retired pediatrician or a family, you know, OBGYN. Yeah. I talked to an OBGYN doctor who's nothing against OBGYNs, but
it's an orthopedic problem.
Yeah, it's an orthopedic problem. It's musculoskeletal. So, so it's all this gatekeeper mentality. And, you know, it's the game the insurance companies play. And I'm still partially in that game. So, you know, it is what it is.
I got out of it 22 years ago. And
best thing you ever did.
Never regretted it for a moment.
But I do want to make one point for people that are thinking, boy, I need to go see Dr. Dan Nelson. Your appointments, if you need x-rays, you need an MRI, the diagnostic process is covered.
It's all there. We can do it all there. Covered by insurance.
It's just that there's a couple of things like stem cell and PRP that are not covered by insurance, but everything else is. You need an implant, you need surgery, you need all kinds of other things that you do.
Vast majority covered by
typical medical insurance, yeah, including right. Medicare. So
there's just a couple of things that are right. not covered.
Right.
And they will be if you want to wait 10 or 15 years for insurance companies to wake up to the reality. It'll be covered, but, you know, why wait?
Right. Why wait? Right.
So anyway, let's take another call. Let's go to Tom in Tenino. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'll try to describe what's going on. And I just wanted to see with this, if the orthopedist here with his with this stem cell and anything could help in, I had a spinal cord injury 7 years ago. I burst fractured L1 and it left me with, I mean, I can walk fine, which is, I'm fortunate. I work, I do everything. I walk, I exercise, but I'm left with, the inability to urinate because it basically wiped out that, took that whole mechanism offline. And short of a nerve anastomosis that I think they do some places, I don't know, does any of your therapies, the stem cell therapy, would it be able to regenerate nerve cells, or does it just, or can it help in that way at all? My main pain though is what's called, I would say, is I've tried to find it, it'd be considered pedundal neuralgia. But anyway, I was just wondering if any of your therapies would be of benefit.
You know, it's a great question and a challenging situation. So a nerve injury is a challenging situation for us in interventional pain and regenerative medicine. I would say there are situations where we've had success. It's not a slam dunk. I mean, this is not like treating knee arthritis. So, and, you know, we'd have to have, of course, all the information at our disposal, meaning, you know, have you had like, any nerve conduction studies and that, have you had that kind of stuff done, like a neurologist?
Well, after I got out of hospital, I only went a couple of times to what's called a physiatrist, and he was not of much benefit because he just basically told me what I already knew. But no, they didn't do the ASA, I think the ASA checking where, I don't even remember what that stands for, but I have the classic symptoms of with the saddle anesthesia and so forth, the back of my thighs or the hamstring area is numb, but you know, the Lord left me the ability to walk, and so I guess I'm supposed to keep working.
So you had a Cotta Aquinas syndrome.
Well, it's called Conus medullare syndrome. Close.
Oh, yeah, same kind of thing. Yeah. That's an area that's kind of really, really cutting edge. Now, there's places like the Mayo Clinic that are doing stem cell studies and people with paralysis that are pretty remarkable, but it's not like it's not for mainstream TV yet.
Isn't Dr. Neil Reardon doing stuff like that?
Neil down in Panama has several people with spinal cord transections actually that are walking again.
Wow. Transection means it's completely
cut. That had no function. But Neil's experience was there was a sweet spot. You couldn't do it too early because they had too much inflammation and bleeding. And if you waited until too late, then you ended up with permanent scarring.
Heart tissue.
And the nerve bundles can't reconnect. Right. So he, you know, in his experience, he had found that within about 2 months or so after injury was the best shot. And I am aware that, you know, that Mayo in this clinic, in this country, is working on this, and they're trying to find ways, obviously, to get these nerves to seek each other out and reconnect.
Right.
But for the reasons we just alluded to with Neil's experience is that once you've got that scar tissue in the way, you've kind of got a barrier that prevents the nerves from finding one another.
Right.
And, you know, then the question is, well, what would happen if you go in and, you know, surgically freshen it up? It's an interesting question, but I don't know anybody brave enough to go in and start whittling on your spinal cord.
That's a interesting area. I don't think we're quite there. The central nervous system is a generally a very unforgiving area to do experiments on. So,
and the consequences for screwing it up are just horrendous.
Yeah. So, but you know, the hope is that there's research, ongoing research. I think I've said on this program, I had this anecdotal report of a lady with post-polio syndrome who injected her shoulders with stem cell and PRP. And then, like a year later, she calls me on my own show at the time and says, I'm wondering why she's calling and something going wrong. And she said, no, my shoulders are great. I feel like one of my feet is waking up, you know? So, and I've talked to her several times since. So to me, it's like, there's still, even in that situation, she had polio, of course, you know, sure. 40 plus years ago. Jerry, with the neuroplasticity, it's not like everything's set in stone, right?
Right.
There's still hope for the,
yes.
We just got to figure it out. I think that day is coming when we can treat spinal cord injury with this.
When I was in medical school, we were taught that the brain was finished by about two, you know.
Same here.
From then on, it was all downhill. And we now know that even people in their 80s can grow new brain tissue.
Right. Which was totally heretical at the time. If you said that in medical school, when I was in medical school, people would have just laughed you out of the classroom.
Yeah, they'd have thrown things at you. Right. But the reality is, even old people can grow new nerve tissue.
Right.
And the question is, how do we trigger the growth?
Right.
And it's turning out the part of it is we have to get rid of the things that are inhibiting.
Right.
We have to disinhibit. And that's part of why I'm doing the senescent cell therapies and so on now.
Right.
Those are big inhibitors of growth.
Right.
And you don't want to get rid of them because you don't want to totally disinhibit growth.
Right. Yeah. They're there for a reason. Yeah.
But you want to reduce, because we old folks have a lot more than we had in our youth.
Right.
So we're finding we want to do two things. A, you want to get rid of the things that are inhibiting growth. B, you want to stimulate new growth factors in the area that you need the growth.
Right.
And that's where PRP stem cell experiments are being done.
Right.
And I think the combination, and I've talked to several of the guys at the research labs about this, I think the combination of decreasing the senescent cells and increasing the growth factors is the way we're going to be going in the near future.
Right, right. What's your opinion? I'm going to throw this at you real quick, realizing we have him still in line. Rapamycin, are you?
Yeah, I'm not using rapamycin myself right now. I used it for a few months.
Why would you? What are we talking about?
Rapamycin is a is a sirtuin 1 inhibitor. And there's a group of growth factor inhibitors, again, and the sirtuin system becomes more active as we get older, and it actually decreases the growth and repair in the human body. And so rapamycin impacts that and decreases the activity and allows you to heal and grow and repair more effectively. In animals and in lower mammals, we can use the rapamycin to significantly extend lifespan by impacting the SIRT1 system. But it has a fair bit of adverse effects, and it's a very expensive drug. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a couple of $1,000 a month on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
Whereas we have a very simple, well-established drug that also impacts the SIRT1 system. It's called metformin. That we've used for decades for diabetes. Right. We know its impact. We know its adverse effects, and it's dirt cheap. And we know that, you know, diabetics tend to die much younger than non-diabetics. But diabetics who have been on metformin for long periods of time live on average of 5 years longer than non-diabetics.
Wow.
So,
crazy. I know. It's crazy
stuff. So metformin has been established in human beings, not just in flatworms and mice, to extend human health span and lifespan. So I take metformin instead of rapamycin. You know, for one thing, I would rather spend $20 a month than $2,000 a month.
Right.
And the worst thing that metformin is going to do to me is give me loose stools if I take too much. Right. And the rapamycin's got all kinds of adverse effects.
Sure.
So.
Interesting. Sorry about that digression.
Well, that's okay. I'm just trying to keep the rest of us up the speed.
So anyway, a lot of my doctors are using metformin now.
Okay.
For a lot of our patients.
Well, let me just take a detour here for 1 minute. This is exactly why many of you folks who have been procrastinating need to make one of our free health analysis appointments. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. This is what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about. I mean, not orthopedically here. That's Dan Nelson.
Dan's area.
And pain, what have you. But my point is, if you're not getting this information, you're screwed. Because the insurance-based model is 5, 10, 15 years. One study says 17 years behind the science. And so if you... This is really, if this isn't motivation for you to make a free health analysis appointment, I don't know what is. So here we go. We have opened up in Tacoma through the third week of August some free health analysis appointments. In our Linwood and Kirkland clinics, we have some free appointments through the second full week of August. So there's now some available, about 30 altogether. Maybe 35. So you need to grab one of those. The other kind of big news, because for the last 3 or 4 months, we've been offering, in addition to giving you the two free tests, you know, the blood test and the special in-body test, you get those free. But for the last few months, we've also offered $100 of free longevity supplements, sort of as a little extra incentive. Well, we're taking that away after August. So if you make one of these free health analysis appointments for August, and they're available now through the third week of August in Tacoma and through the second week of August in Kirkland and Linwood, you get the $100 of supplements. So if you're just a procrastinator, you know you need the appointment. You want the appointment. You're crazy not to do the appointment. Well, why don't you do it in August and get the $100 of supplements too? To make your appointment, you go to lmclinic.com. Simple to do. lmclinic.com. You push on the tab to make an appointment. Very clear. And it's easy to do. I promise it'll take you less than 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. So go to lmclinic.com. And for goodness sakes, if you know you want one, you know you need one, do it now. Get those extra supplements for free. All right. Let us go to Shelton, your old stomping grounds, Jerry.
Yes.
And talk with Bill. Bill, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. Our special guest today, Dr. Dan Nelson.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. What I got going here is comparison of the left hip and the right hip. Impression, it says. I got the report in front of me. There is similar severe left hip joint arthrosis with bone-on-bone apposition, mild flattening of the femoral head, marginal astrophyte formation. There is moderate to severe supplolateral right hip joint space narrowing. Small marginal astrophytes are present. Mild to moderate bilateral sclerotic joint and pubic stenosis degeneration. No acute fracture. And my question is, it's a comparison of the right hip. Why am I having so much pain in the left and not in the right? And I hope I'm not putting a kibosh on this.
So your pain is, all those were worse on, the findings are all describing on your right hip? Or
Left hip.
Left hip. But your right hip is the painful one?
No, the left hip is the painful one, and the right hip is the okie-dokie.
Okay, so all these things are describing is in comparison to the right hip. Is that correct?
Okay, here, what I told you was the left hip. Now, for the right hip, there's similar severe left hip arthritis with bone-on-bone aspiration. It's saying the same thing about the right hip, but there's no pain in the right hip, just in the left hip.
What? Is it, this is a X-ray or MRI that your report you're reading to us?
X-ray.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's what I tell people. I tell people at least once or twice a week, We don't treat x-rays and MRIs, we treat patients. So we, it's very important to take the information from the diagnostic imaging, including x-rays, MRI, but really it's more important what the patient tells me is more, that trumps the MRI and the x-ray. I need that information because I need to look at that to see what's going on. So I really treat the symptoms and what the patient's telling me. So it's, we see this all the time. Sometimes, you know, we'll get an MRI and I'm treating a patient for back pain and they have sciatica and they say, well, the disc bulge is on the right, and the patient said, well, yeah, my pain's on the left. Okay, well, so you know what? I'm going to treat your left-sided pain because I don't care what the MRI shows. I'm not going to treat the MRI. I'm going to treat what you're telling me. As a pain specialist, interventional pain specialist / orthopedics, that's what I do. So, and I, you know, radiologists don't see patients, and they read all this stuff in there, which is what they supposed to do. And that's why in some cases I probably wouldn't order an MRI in your case because, it would just give you a laundry list of all the bad things that are going on. We don't need that. I don't need to know all that. We just need to know what we can do to make your pain better, to give you more functional mobility, all that kind of stuff, get you back to doing what you need to do. So, you know, I go over x-ray reports and MRI reports with patients. It's kind of, but I don't like, it's not like the world turns on every radiologist report.
No.
They are not practicing. They don't treat patients. I treat patients. I'll take what they say because, and I, my, for like a lumbar spine MRI, I read all my own MRIs. I always kind of like to see what the radiologists say because I just want to see what they, but I know what I need to see because what the radiologists focus on isn't what I necessarily focus on.
And you've examined the patient and you've got
right.
a history.
I've got the huge advantage. I've seen the patient in person. I've done the exam. I know what's significant. The radiologist is there in a dark room looking at a digital screen.
So sucking photons off a screen.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're very good at what they do. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the one in the hot seat. I'm the one making the clinical decision about how we're going to get you feeling better.
You know, it puts me in mind of a study I saw probably 25 years ago about low back pain and surgery for lumbar back pain.
Oh, yeah.
And they went through and did a series of MRIs on people that some of them had back pain, some didn't. And then they had the radiologist read it and say who needed the surgery.
Right.
And one third of the pain-free people were
indicated for surgery.
Right. Yeah. They had no back pain.
Yeah.
But on their study, it looked like they would be good surgical candidates.
I wonder if that's the Jarvik. There's a Jarvik study, 2001, that says all these findings are seen in people without pain. So don't put too much stock in
precisely.
What you see. So that, that's part of that.
Yeah. It's the same sort of idea is that the studies show you pathological changes.
Right.
But some people with significant pathological changes on their imaging feel great.
Right.
And they're fully functional.
Right.
And the last thing they need is a doctor going in and whittling and drilling and you know, chiseling away.
Yeah. But the x-ray says you should.
Yeah. But the reality is, you know, you go by what the patient is doing. And, you know, you said it perfectly. You treat the patients, not the studies.
Right. And a perfect example of that is MRIs of the knee where there's a knee meniscus tear. And most people with a meniscus tear don't have pain. But boy, you show that to an orthopedic surgeon, you have pain, and they'll say, well, let's go in and scope that, clean it up, you know?
Yeah.
And the success rate of that surgery, especially in anybody over the age of 50, it's virtually, I mean, the success rate is negligible.
I have friends who have had their meniscus cleaned up. I have two.
Right.
They're in every bit as much pain now.
Yeah. You know,
what they're doing is removing more meniscus. They're cleaning it up, meaning they're taking out more cartilage. The more of the cushion there, they're just taking more out of it. So if anything, it's probably advancing the arthritis.
But it looks smooth and pretty.
It makes a pretty picture.
Yeah. It just doesn't function where the hoof.
Listen, I have to make a point here because we're a bit running out of time. Dr. Umet, by the way, is at the back door.
Oh,
my goodness.
She is here.
I'll go get her.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to stick around just to say hi to her, if that's okay.
Oh, of course. You can stick around and say hi for a few more minutes. Now, I want to make a point here just real clearly. This is why we have Dr. Dan Nelson in here, because pain is a big deal. And even though we deal with a whole lot of things, including some ways to get rid of pain, but Dan is the guy. And you, it's just really critical for you not to have a fatalistic attitude. I say this all the time, and it's especially true about pain. If you've got that ankle, knee, hip, shoulder, what have you. Well, yeah, we're on the air still. That's okay. Nice to see you, though.
We were just graced by her presence.
Now, you can come in. Come in.
Don't run away. Don't come run back away. In.
I moved over so you can have that chair.
Okay. Let me turn on all the... everything's good. The bottom line, don't have a fatalistic attitude just because you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. It doesn't matter. Is 85 too old?
Absolutely not.
Right. It's not. So don't have a fatalistic attitude that says, oh, I'm getting old. Oh, right. I'm getting old. And I have to live with it.
Or your doctor told you, well, it hurts when I go. I hurt my back when I golf. And your doctor says, well, you shouldn't golf anymore. I'm like, do you love to golf? Or do you love to garden or whatever? I want to get you back doing what you love to do.
Yeah. So to do that, you just make an appointment. And like we said, his appointment, the x-rays, MRIs, whatever you need, the whole diagnostic process is covered by insurance.
Absolutely.
Or Medicare or whatever. Right. And there's just a couple of things that you do that may not be covered by insurance, but why don't you find out what the real problem is with all of the latest options in front of you. You make an appointment at Pro Ortho with Dr. Dan Nelson. Here's the back number.
Let's give him the back number,
And text me the back number because I'm going to
give Dr. Mixon the back number. Well, Dr. Mixon probably has my personal number,
which
is fine.
Do
as well.
That's right. Here it is, 425-636-4442. 425-636-4442. Be on the leading edge. It's your only hope. Be on the leading edge, because there are things that most doctors don't know about because they're stuck in the insurance model. They're stuck there. So, again, 425-636-4442.
Thank you so much, guys. This is always too much fun. We have too much fun when I'm here with Pete and Dr. Mixon.
Are you going out? You look like you're going out to golf. Are you?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
You dog. You didn't invite me, but then again, I'm stuck on the air.
Yeah, so well, we'll work that out. Okay. We'll work that out. You know, Dr. Mixon, can I just make one comment?
Sure.
I know Dr. Mixon, as you do, as a very compassionate, caring human being.
Yeah.
Except for one.
Except for
the condition that you and I are inflicted with called golf.
Yes.
He doesn't have much compassion for that.
I don't.
Right?
I belong to the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Little White Balls.
Okay.
And so,
well, there you go. There
I
you
don't
go.
Want you to whack him with clubs.
He's so weird. But that's just I put up with it for 21 years now.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. But, Dan, really, blessings to you. Thank you so much. Keep
Thank
your
you
head
for having
down
me.
Out there on the course today. And again, folks, if, you would like to get your head out of the sand and realize that, you really can be in less pain this next year than you were this year or even 5, 10 years
More important
ago.
Than ever to keep moving with this whole COVID crisis.
Right? Make an appointment at his clinic in Totem Lake, by the way. 425-636-4442. You can also check him out on his website, conqueringyourpain.com. Conqueringyourpain.com. Dan, hi to Bernadette, and we'll see you later.
Great to see you guys. Thank you so much.
Ciao. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to a break while Dr. Samira Umet is re-entering the studio. And she'll be joining us. We've got some other calls, so don't go far. Welcome back to a whole brand new show, because now we have the star of the show back in the studio.
Oh, come, that's right. Come, Flattery will get you everywhere.
Thank you. I'm hoping so. We're going to be seeing each other quite a bit this week because a week from today at 1 o'clock right here on KTTH will be the maiden voyage of the Bella Medica show.
That's right.
Or whatever.
So
we're
super excited about
that's
it.
That's right.
So looking forward to
starring.
It. You know, that swan is blossoming from the
that's
ugly
right.
duckling. So excited about it. Disney, here I come.
That's right.
Do you ice skate?
I can.
So we're
I learned how to ride a bike.
That's good.
So there you go. See, I can do things.
So this is a brand new one-hour show.
Yes.
Every Saturday from 1 to 2 right here on KTTH. And it's featuring you. You are the star. I get to be the host. And you get to be the star, featuring all of the various questions and services and presentations of Bella Medica.
That's right.
Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, what the goal is mainly to give more information about what we do at Bella Medica. Bella Medica is just doing so well. Our patients are so happy. We have a wonderful master esthetician, and we just want people to know more about what we offer over there. And the newest thing that we've started is the hair program for hair restoration, for hair loss. You know, Dr. Mixon, he does all the research for us, and he came up with this absolutely wonderful protocol. And as sensitive as he is, although he'd never admit it, he was really concerned about hair loss for women. And we did see that in our practices. And there was really nothing and nobody out there targeting this for women particularly. Most of the people who target treatment for hair loss so far have focused on men and hair replacement for men.
I can't quite figure that out. Why is that?
I don't know. Because, you know, men, you can buzz cut it and, you know, do like our CEO does, and it's fine. But very few women, except a couple of crazy rock stars, don't want to shave their head. You know, they want more hair.
Sure.
And 50% of women, by menopause, 50% of women have significant hair loss. So I don't understand why we're the only ones in the area really that are going to make this a focus.
So we're going to do something about it. We've had Bella Medica functioning, up and running, and doing quite well for 13, 14
years. Yeah, longer than I've been here. Yeah, I've been here 10 years.
Right. And so now it's going so well, the hair restoration is just sort of the latest addition to what we're doing for the last 6 months to a year. But we do other things.
We do. We got new lasers, and that's what really blossomed this thing, right?
Advanced lasers.
Yeah, we got new advanced lasers. Our master esthetician is super, super good at using them. She's had amazing results with patients, and that's why we had the confidence to come out and say, okay, well, let's tell more people about what we do. These are the newest lasers. We do different services, IPL, photofacials, spider veins, thin veins, pigmentation, and then hair removal. And then on top of that, we start, you know, we remove hair from one area. Right. We give hair back in another area, but that's two different services. And then she does do other things like microderms and facials. And those are nice, you know, chemical peels, nice rejuvenating services. But overall, she has been extremely successful in that department. And we wanted the opportunity to educate more about what you can do and to allow you to know what services we offer.
That's
the whole purpose.
So the Bella Medica show or hour, I'm not sure. We're going to decide what we call this thing here in the next couple of days. But we will be working on that and presenting that every Saturday, 1 to 2 o'clock here on KTTH, starting a week from today. It'll be fun. I know it'll be fun. In fact, we're already making plans to open facilities in Dallas and other parts of this fine country. All right. Now, we've got some questions. We've had Hilmar waiting the longest time from Redmond. I kind of had warned him a few minutes ago. We apologize, but let's go to Hilmar now with a fascinating topic. Hilmar, welcome to the show.
Good morning. I have noticed you guys have been talking about senescent cell, and in fact, Dr. Mixon was talking about it a little earlier. And there is a compound called the drug is called, and my pronunciation might not be right, but DASATINIB.
Dasatinib, yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite drug for using this.
Okay. So I've seen references to that drug in combination with quercetin as a protocol for the. My question regarding that particular drug is, and if you read about it, it is being described as a immune suppressant and suppresses white blood cells or what have you. And my concern would be that if you're suppressing your immune system by using this, obviously, this is kind of a hit and run approach. It's not like you do it on a constant basis for year in and year out.
Right.
Maybe that's the difference. any comments?
Yeah. The drug dasatinib is an anti-neoplastic drug. It's actually approved for chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And now, just a couple of years ago, was further approved for pediatric leukemias, too. So it's been around since 2012 in clinical use. It's designed to be used every day, about 100 milligrams a day, every day for as long as the patient lives, and that's usually 3 to 5 years. So if you look at the side effect profile over a 5-year period, it's scary as all get out. I mean, it's a very potent drug, and it does alter the way your immune system works. And if you take it every day, there's a long, long laundry list of things that can go wrong. And before we use it, we make people look at that whole laundry list and sign it and say, you know, these are the things that can happen if you take it for 3 or 5 years. And, you know, we can't guarantee it won't happen on the first day. So you've got to sign an informed consent, and we give you all the scary warnings. But the reality is, in the studies that have been done on human beings thus far, when you take it for 3 days, the adverse effects are generally very minimal. The protocol that I use is one that was developed at the Mayo Clinic and has been published in their research. And I do it for 3 days per week for 3 weeks the first time. And that should lower your senescent cells in theory by about 70%. So it's a big impact. And then, because I am in my 70s and I reform senescent cells, I take it for 3 days every other month. So, but some people that have obesity and diabetes and other things that make them make senescence more often, they might need it for 6 days every other month. I don't know, or even 3 days every month. But when I take it for 3 days, I often get tired. I get a little headachey. But then the first day, on the fourth day, when I don't take the drug, it's all gone and I'm totally back to normal. So I tolerate it very well. I just feel a little under the weather on the 3 days I take it. Several of my doctors are now trying it. And I've had one physician who had a really nasty reaction. They developed a painful edema in their cheeks that was quite uncomfortable, and they had to stop it after a couple of days. And we let them go a month and try it one more time. It happened a second time. We just said, I'm sorry, this is not a drug you can take. So yes, this is a medication that is very, very powerful. It has the power to do enormous good, but it can also do harm. And, that's back to Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. And so you have to use it judiciously and cautiously and watch what each individual's reaction is.
And along with subjective symptoms, we also look for objective data. So we do measure labs for our patients regularly, but we watch them more carefully when they're on the treatment program. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Mixon is also looking into a new set of labs that we might be able to measure for patients who want to do this protocol particularly.
Yeah. senescent cells produce a series of inflammatory anti-growth cytokines that we collectively refer to as SASPs. And unfortunately, measuring most of those is not done in normal clinical laboratories. It's done in mostly in research labs, which makes them very expensive. So to check all of the SASPs to see where your levels are is thousands of dollars. And so, yes, we can do it, but most people don't want to go to the expense. They're willing to just go by their clinical outcomes and their clinical findings. So, you know, I am currently looking for a lab that can do some of these markers at a more reasonable cost so that people can follow it along. I'm always uncomfortable when I can't measure objective criteria when I'm doing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah. But in this case,
What are the positive effects of what do you notice in terms of any kind of health improvement at all after these treatments? I mean, do you notice anything, any pain that goes away, or do you notice that you're
yes.
healing faster, or are you noticing anything?
Yes, in me personally, yes. But let me back up and start. Talk a little bit about the research findings.
Well, I'll tell you what we need to do.
What do we need to do?
We're 5 minutes late for a break.
Oops.
And we've just got to take it.
Take a break, and then I'll come back.
But I'm going to put you on hold, Hilmar, and we'll be back in less than 2 minutes. So let's go to a break, and we'll be back. We have another 10 minutes in the show, so I think we can fully discuss this.
Sure.
And... just a quick reminder, if you'd like to stay with us for the second two-hour Saturday show, we're also on the air between 10 and noon on another station. You want to find us for all 4 hours, the listing of where we are for all 4 hours, go to our website, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button at the top of the page, and you'll see where we are for all 4 hours every Saturday morning. 4 hours of live call-in radio. Hilmar, you hang on. We'll be right back. All right. We need to quickly go to Hilmar to follow up some questions, but I need to do something real quickly. For those of you who want the health analysis appointments, again, I think there's about 35 or so in Tacoma through the third week of August. They have appointments available on our website, the free health analysis appointment. The other two clinics, Linwood and Kirkland, we have appointments through the second full week of August. So you also, through August only, we are continuing to give the free $100 of longevity supplements when you make that appointment. We are discontinuing that at the end of August. So if you know you want an appointment, don't procrastinate any longer. Go to lmclinic.com and push on that schedule now button for a free health analysis appointment. You get the two free tests, the blood test and the special in-body test, and the $100 of longevity supplements only if you make that appointment in August. Okay, back to Hilmar.
Okay.
Finish up here.
All right, Hilmar, I'm going to start with the 10, 15-year-old rodent studies, because that's where we first started evaluating this. And we found that animals, including human beings, we form what we refer to as senescent cells. These are cells that reach the end of the reproductive lifespan, but instead of dying and being replaced like they're supposed to, they actually change their morphology, and they change their surface markers, they change their shape, and they start kicking out very different anti-growth factors. And one senescent cell can inhibit the growth and development of 12 to 15,000 healthy cells. So a relatively small percentage of senescent cells prevents you from healing, growing, repairing new tissue, which, you know, is not a good thing as we're getting older. The fatter you are, the more senescent cells you make. The higher your blood sugar, the more senescent cells you make. The less physically active you are, the more senescent cells you make. The less muscle mass you have, the more senescent cells you make. So basically, all the bad stuff increases the rate of senescent cell formation. Now, in mice, we found that the average mouse lives about 25 months, a little over 2 years. By 20 months of age, a mouse is old. They've given up their sexual activity. They can't run mazes anymore. They can't solve problems. Their coat looks crummy. They're developing degenerative changes. Their cardiovascular function is decreasing. If we treat a mouse at 20 months of age with this therapy, they suddenly revert and start acting like they're younger. They pick up their sexual activity again. Their coat looks better. They can run and jump and solve mazes. They do well. If you take a young mouse and you inject a few senescent cells into the mouse, all of a sudden the young mouse acts old. Mm-hmm. So senescent cells have a big impact. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, the old mice, if you treat their senescent cells one time, you extend their lifespan by 36%. Mm. Instead of dying at an average of 25 months, they live an average of 34 months.
Very interesting.
So the question is, what happens?
Amazing.
What happens when we do this to people?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so far, because the FDA doesn't consider aging a disease, all of the research has been done on people with specific medical problems. So there are studies being done on dementia, on kidney failure, on fibrotic lungs, on all sorts of issues. But we're finding that when people get treated, they get stronger. They get faster. They feel better. Their brain tends to function better.
Real quickly, what happened to you?
Well, what happened to me, and I'm not a good candidate because I've done the longevity treatment for a long time, but my old gunshot wounds from my rather exuberant and hazardous youth, I had chronic pain in a lot of joints. When I used the senescent cell therapy and then I threw the exosome therapies on top of it, I had total resolution of my pain.
Wow.
Okay. Dr. Umat, though, has got a patient.
Yeah.
That she wanted to discuss a little bit.
Well, this patient has been with us for 5 years in our Tacoma clinic, and they really did extremely well. So on the 5 years, they hadn't gotten worse in their dementia. Their vision had improved, was stayed static. But after this treatment, there is an improvement in mood, in memory, in cognitive ability, in speech. And they're really excited for the first time in years. The whole family and their friend circle, they're really excited for her. And
with that, I should say, I haven't heard back from Tim Burke yet, but I think we're within a week of being able to present our new, the two stages of aging webinar.
Yeah, I did a 40-some minute webinar on the two stages of aging, the reproductive aging that we've treated for 20 years and now the senescent aging.
Okay.
And it's about 40 minutes or so, and it covers both of these areas in a lot more detail than we've done today.
And I dare say I told Jerry right after we produced it that it's, I think, the most exciting webinar we've ever done, and we've got some humdingers, in my opinion. So it's a video presentation. It'll be available soon. Very few little tweaks left to do on it, but it'll be ready to go. The senescent cell therapy at Longevity Medical Clinic. Very exciting. Only, I might add, at Longevity Medical Clinic. And for those of you who have been listening long enough to know that you really need to be on the leading edge, you simply need to grab one of our free health analysis appointments. Boy, I hope you'll do that. Don't procrastinate. We're offering the $100 of free longevity supplements only through the month of August. So you go to our website and lmclinic.com, push the button to schedule an appointment. You can do it there so easily at any one of our three clinics. Tacoma through the third week of August, and Linwood and Kirkland through the second week of August. We'll open up the rest of the month eventually, but do that. Make that appointment, for goodness sakes. Don't procrastinate. In the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your weekend. It's gorgeous out there.
This is Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho and Conquering Your Pain. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are holding off on our regular Saturday 11 a.m. broadcast, but we are still seeing patients both in person and remotely using telehealth technology. We offer state-of-the-art interventional pain services, including stem cell therapy for shoulder, hip, and knee arthritis, as well as for chronic low back and neck pain. Call us today at 425-823-4000 or visit our website, conqueringyourpain.com.